We are so blessed to be able to come before Him and to be able to bring our requests to Him and to spend some time just worshiping Him and communicating with Him. So let's do that together. Father, we thank You. We come before You with praise for who You are. We thank You that You love us enough to be here and to allow us to be here and to call us Your children and to care about everything that goes on with us. We thank You that You loved us enough that You gave us a choice to choose whether or not we wanted to love You back. That's love, giving us that choice. Father, we thank You for the way that You have provided for us. We thank You for the provisions that You have given regarding finances, regarding the conference stepping up and helping us with the roof that will be starting in the next few weeks. We thank You for our congregation, for each of us, for our brothers and sisters who are sitting here today, and for those that have gone back up north. And God, we thank You for the relationships that we have. How blessed we are that we have people that we can turn to and say, hey, will you just pray for me or anything? God, we do have a lot of requests. We always have a lot of requests. We have many that have health concerns and travel concerns. But Father, we know that You know our needs. And You tell us that we can bring our needs to You. And we can bring the needs of others to You. Sure, You already know them. But You've waited patiently for us to just talk to You about stuff. So God, we're praying right now that You will intervene in these areas of needs in our lives. For our family members. For our friends. For ourselves. For our country. For our leaders. Father, we want Your name to become mighty again. And we pray that You will just guide and direct each and every one of us to show You more, to live more like Your Son, to take the opportunities to share when You put them in front of us, to stand up against evil. God, I pray that You will just work in our lives. You will be here in our church. We invite Your Holy Spirit here today. We pray that You will just fill this place and that You will open our ears to hear what it is You would have us hear. Touch my tongue so that whatever comes out of my mouth will be what You want people to hear. Let everything that happens in our service be glorifying to You. We praise You. We thank You. Amen. So, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about prayer. You could talk about prayer a lot. I could probably do a 15, 16, 17-week sermon series just on prayer, but we're going to do it in two, so that means you have to listen fast. But we're just going to spend 2 weeks looking at prayer a little bit, and we know that it's important and that it's part of our spiritual relationship. It's part of our life with God has to involve prayer because there's got to be some way to communicate with Him. We've heard all kinds of things about prayer over the years. We find out that some people learned how to pray when they were a little kid and they were just given this, you know, script of what they should pray. That very, very scary prayer about laying down to sleep and hoping you don't die before morning. But that's what we taught our kids to pray. Right? It's probably the first prayer many of us remember. If I should die before I wake, But we also learned, okay, well, you're supposed to pray before you eat. And then people are like, oh, I don't know if I want to pray. I can't do that in a restaurant because then people are going to look at me funny. Or I'm going to do it in a restaurant so people see me pray. Yeah. So there's all kinds of prayers, right? There's people who use what we call a parachute prayer, meaning just like a parachute, you want to have one, but you only want to, you don't use it unless you have to. You only pray when you really need something. But that's not the idea behind prayer with God. God wants us to have communication with Him. So some of the things we need to know about prayer include that, prayer is communion with God. It is you talking to God. It's our way of communicating with Him. It is the way that we have relationship with Him. We always, many times over the weeks, we've talked about, okay, how do you get to know God better? Well, part of it is by getting your head in the Word, reading. Well, we all learned how to read at a very young age. Maybe not everybody. We may have somebody here who doesn't know how to read. But you have something that you can listen to it. There's some way of getting the Word of God, right? So that's pretty easy, reading. And then there's the go to church thing. Go somewhere with the fellowship of believers so people can talk into each other's lives and support each other. Well, that's pretty easy. You just have to get in your car and show up somewhere. And then there's that third part, prayer. How many of you really don't like to pray in public? You're like, what if I don't say the right thing? Or what if it comes out funny? Or what if I say something that isn't really what I meant, but it's just kind of the way it came out? And I really don't like talking in front of people. You know they say that talking in front of people, speaking publicly, is the second biggest fear right behind people's fear of death. I'm glad that's not mine. But for some people, that's that whole idea of praying out loud is just terrifying. How many of us it's hard for us to even figure out how to pray when we're by ourselves, when we're doing it, you know, just in our own homes, where I go, okay, God, I want to pray, but I, help me. Well, we have a pretty amazing Jesus, and He gave us some instructions for learning how to pray. Do you know it's something you can learn how to do? It's something you can practice. That you can practice it enough that sooner or later you're going, wow, hey, that I just prayed and I didn't even think about it. Because you've done it so many times and you just keep practicing and practicing and practicing. And it becomes more second nature. Just like everything we do in our road to being more like Christ. The more we do certain things, the easier it gets, the more effective we are. And that's the same as it is with prayer. We find that another thing about prayer, which is the reason why sometimes it's hard for people to jump in, is because it actually is a form of submitting to God. There's really no reason to pray if I'm in control of me. But if I take the time to talk to God, then I must think He might have something to say about my life. If you look back in your own life, you may have a few moments where you say, yeah, I remember when I prayed the least. It's when I was off doing my own thing. At least that's me. It is a form of submitting to God. And when we look at what Jesus is going to show us through His example to His disciples, is that it is a form of submitting to God. And so that can make it hard for some people to pray. Well, when do you pray? How do you pray? It's not just the Lord's Prayer that we have listed in the bulletin that we're going to talk about today. Yeah, that's a great example, and we'll look at that. But do you have to do it a certain way? Well, just so you know, there is no script. You don't have to do it a certain way. Some folks love prayers that have been written by other people. and they read them and they are just so taken by them and they mean so much to them. And some people like to write their prayers down. It's a good thing some of those people did write them down, or people wouldn't have them to read today, right? Other people like to write their prayers down before they pray them out loud. Some people don't like to ever pray out loud. Okay. Okay. There is no script. It doesn't have to be done a certain way. In fact, when we get to these verses about the Lord's Prayer, one of the things it's going to say is, it said, and Jesus told them to pray like this. He didn't say, pray this. He said, this is an example of how you can pray. He was teaching them. I don't want to go quite there yet. Luke 11, verse 1 said, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just like John taught his disciples. Teach us how to pray. I'm not the scholar on how to pray, but I pray all the time. So I'll just tell you the little bits that I've learned and what I know. And I'll tell you what I've found in Scripture regarding prayer. Only to encourage each of us to consider doing it a little bit more. But Jesus gave instructions so we can follow what He gave. So I'm going to read Matthew 6, at least a part of it. And you can follow along here, starting with verse 5. And Susan, if you'll flip the slides for me. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues and everywhere where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. When you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating the words again and again. Don't be like them, for the Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. Pray like this. This is not the way you learned it. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins, as we've forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. If you refuse to forgive others, then your Father will also not forgive your sins. And when you fast, don't make it obvious, as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. Then no one will notice that you're fasting, except your Father, who knows what you do in private. And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. So there's more there than just the Lord's Prayer, what we refer to the Lord's Prayer. And if you look at the Lord's Prayer in each of the different Gospels, you'll find it worded a little bit differently. And of course, if you look at the different translations of the Bible, the ones that, you know, when you look at the King James Version, which was done in very old English, that's the one we all memorized. But how many of you have been sitting in a church service and it's time to say the Lord's Prayer and you get to that part and you're going, am I supposed to say debtors or trespasses? You've been there, right? You never know which one somebody's going to say. Jesus said, pray like this. Here's some things that we can pray like. The first thing He said after they said, will you teach us how to pray, as He said, you know what? It is not a show. Your praying should not be about everybody looking at you. It should not be about, can I pray the most eloquent prayer? It does not mean that you can't pray aloud. It does not mean that when you're sitting in a Bible study, you can't pray. But it means if you're all worried about if you're getting all the these and thous right and you're praying, oh, Lord, help us. You don't have to do that. It's not a show. In fact, if you're doing it for a show where somebody says, oh, I just love the way you pray. You're such a good prayer. Guess what? You just got your reward. I hope you liked it. That's what Scripture says. Prayer is about not about what other people are thinking about you when you're praying. It's about your communication with God. That's what it's about. It's not a show. If you're doing it just because, oh, they just said everybody should pray and everybody else around the table prayed, but I don't really want to pray right now, so don't pray. It's not about what everybody else thinks. It's about your communication with God. Prayer isn't about the number of words or how many times we ask. It said, don't go on babbling and babbling and babbling, going on and on and on. Sometimes, honestly, you know, there's this expectation for the pastoral prayer that it should be this nice, long prayer. And sometimes I want to just come up here and just say, God, you know our hearts. You know we're hurting. You know we have needs. Take care of it. We love you. Sometimes that's really just what I want to say. Sometimes I want to fall to my knees and just pour out my heart to Him with all the junk that's going on that's weighing so heavy on me. Neither one of them's wrong. Oh, wait, now let's talk about the posturing of prayer. You go to some churches, you never pray unless you stand up. Some places, you need to kneel when you pray. He doesn't care what you're doing when you pray. Can you pray when you're driving? Absolutely. As long as you keep your eyes open. Especially on 19. Are there times that you will be prompted to pray in different positions just because of the state of whatever's going on in your life? Absolutely. Some people, you know, we teach our kids when they're little to pray, okay, fold your hands and close your eyes. Why do we do that? There's nothing wrong with it, but why do we do it? Because it makes you sit still, right? If you don't tell your kids to put their hands like this, who knows what they're going to be doing with their hands when you have your eyes closed praying. They're off getting their toys or whatever. The ideas of what we have done around prayer, it's not that they're wrong, but it might be that you've got it so ingrained in your head that that's what you have to do, that you forget that, no, really, this is just about me communicating with God. Sometimes you will see me. This is my thing. I'm not one to always raise my hands up high singing or anything or in prayer, but I'm one to often do this because I just want to be filled. I just want God to give me what you have for me. That's just my posture. That's one of my postures in praying. It doesn't mean you have to do that. That's just something that is right for me. Very rarely will you see me sit like this. It doesn't matter. But sometimes you're going to see me get to the place where I just have to get on my knees before God, which is why I wanted an altar in this church. Sometimes I just want to have that visual, that overall idea of I am submitting to you. I want to be on my knees before you. Doesn't mean you have to do that. It's not about how many words you use. You don't have to keep talking over and over and over again, because guess what? He already knew what you needed before you ever said it. So you don't need to say it 28 million times, or even 5. Prayer can take place anywhere, anytime, in any format. The minute somebody tells you that you can't pray like this, they're wrong. I was going to tell you what you could do, but I'll just say they're wrong. But you can refer them to Scripture, just that one line. Jesus said, pray like this. He didn't say, you have to do it this way. Anytime, any format. So when we get to the Lord's Prayer, in this section of Scripture about the Lord's Prayer, He gives us a little format of how we can learn to pray. But you need to be really careful if you choose to pray that prayer. This is the part I don't think people think about very often. I know I didn't think about it very often. It's what, you know, we go in and we, sometimes even you end a prayer and you say, okay, now let's all pray as Jesus taught us to pray. And then we all quote the Lord's Prayer. And for some of us, it's, we're just reciting it like we did, now I lay me down to sleep. Because it's the prayer we learned. I'm not saying that is wrong. We do that here. But boy, when you pray that prayer, you might want to think about what you're going to pray before you pray it. So let's talk about each of the lines in that. Now, what I did in your bulletin, and as most of you know, on the back of the bulletin is a place where you can take notes if you want. I just have each of the lines of the Lord's Prayer broken up in the King James Version, the way we all learned it, even though that's not the way we read it this morning. So let's just look at each of those lines just a little bit. And what you're going to find is I don't have any notes for you because that little spot is for your own notes. The first part, our Father who art in heaven. So the first thing is you are admitting when you start that prayer that God is your Father, that you are the child of God. Before you've gotten any further, you're saying, I am your child. And I recognize that you are in heaven, that there is a place much more than this earth, and that you are my Father, and you are in heaven. You are a heavenly being. If you can't say, you are my Father, and I acknowledge that there is a heaven, you kind of can't pray that first line of the prayer. It says, I believe that there's more than this earth. That's what that one-liner says. There's more than this. I believe that there's more than this. The second, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed? Hallowed. Who says that? Nobody. Holy. God, you are holy. Your name is holy. I am not going to mess around with your name because it is holy. If I could tell you everything Diane and I talked about in the car in the last 2 days and an hour and a half there, back twice. But one of the things we talked about was God's name and the way we use God's name and forms of God's name. God's name is holy. Do you believe, God, you are holy? What is holy? Beyond reproach. Perfection. We honor something as holy. It's holding something in its highest honor. We show reverence and respect. This is the part in the prayer where you're saying, I praise you because of who you are. Not because of anything else, God, but because who you are holy. If you can't say, God, you are holy, then you're going to have a hard time praying this prayer. Thy kingdom come. Oh. First of all, that means there is a kingdom. And second, it means you're wanting it to come. Do you really, when you pray, that's part of your prayer. First, you're saying, God, you are holy. You are my Father. And now you're saying, God, I want what you want. I want your kingdom. I want people to know about you. I want this world to live as you would have us to live. I want your ultimate kingdom to come someday. I want to go to heaven. I want all my friends and family to be in heaven. Your kingdom come. Most of us say, well, I kind of want his kingdom come, but I sure hope he waits until my grandkids graduate from high school. Now, I have a niece who says, when you ask her about dating, she says, I don't know, Jesus is coming back before she gets that old. Art, can you pray that, though? Thy kingdom come. Jesus, I want your kingdom here now. I want the future that God has in store for me. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Again, you're acknowledging, we live in two places, we are foreigners in this world. And I want what is happening on earth to be the same as if it were in heaven. God, I want my life to be now what you have planned for me in heaven, and I'm going to do what I can to follow, make my life what you had planned for me in perfection. I'm not going to live my life going, yeah, someday I'll be perfect. Yeah, when I die, everything will be good. Yeah, I know God's going to make everything all right when I die. No, I'm going to say, God, help me to live that way now. Show me how I can become more like you now. If you can't really say that you want that change, you're going to have a hard time praying that line in that prayer. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done, God. That tells, what does that say? That says that I know that my will might not be exactly the same as His. But I've decided that His will's better. I'm acknowledging that His will is better. That's a big one. When we say it, we're saying that we want a life without sin. We want a life that doesn't include the stuff of this world. All those things that tie us down. I want my life now to be the way it's going to be when it's in heaven. Does that mean you're going to be successful every day? No, because guess what? Every single one of us is in a different spot in our spiritual walk. Every single one of us is in a place where God may have dealt with your heart regarding one thing differently than He is with me, or He may have dealt with that in me 5 years ago, and He's not going to deal with it in you for another year. Every day are we praying, God, keep making me closer and closer and closer to what it is you have planned for me. What about my requests? Pastor Leilani, you haven't even mentioned my requests yet. Have you noticed the phrasing in this chapter or in this prayer? It's give to us. We're praying for us. It's okay to pray your requests for other people, because guess what? When you're praying, Lord, I want them to know you as their Father. I want them to want your will and their will in your life. Your will in their life. You can pray each of these lines with your requests. God knows that you have requests. And we're going to talk next week about other things about prayer, and we'll get back to that then. Give us this day our daily bread. What do I need today? Two things, need and today. It does not say want, and it does not say for the next 10 years. God, I know you are in control of my life. I know your plan is good for me. I want your will, and please provide for me what it is I need today. Is it okay to call out what you need? I am so tired today, God. Will you please help me just kind of keep my energy up as the day goes on? God, I haven't had anything to eat in 4 days. Would you provide something for me to physically eat today? We have people that's what they have to pray. God, I'm really discouraged today. Could you encourage me? I'm lonely today. I don't know where my car payment's going to come from today, God. All those things. What do I need today? God, I don't feel good. I didn't feel good all weekend. I told Diane, I texted her and I said, I'm not feeling so good, I'm going to be late. I didn't feel good. Okay, whatever. Do you know that as I prayed, I said, I'm doing this for you, just get me through, whatever. The entire time I was presenting, I did not have one bit of pain. I have been having pain since Friday morning. That's a Satan thing, by the way. I could tell you that whole story. That is a Satan thing. He is always trying to take you down. Don't ever doubt it. He wants to take you down. My God is bigger. I did not feel good this morning. I don't feel bad at all right now. It might come back in about, oh my word, look what time it is. No wonder some of your eyes are going like this. God is good. He will give you what you need right when you need it. He is never early. He is never late. He is always right on time. He will give you your daily bread. It is okay to ask Him for that. But if you're going to do that, you need to remember that when you pray that, you're saying, God, I'm going to rely on you. if you're not willing to say, I'm ready to rely on you, God, if that's hard for you to say, I think I kind of rely on myself, you might have a hard time with that line in that prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Nobody likes to talk about this part because it's hard. Debts, sins, trespasses, the bad stuff. God, forgive me. Part of your prayer is, God, forgive me. I promise you there's not a time when I pray that I can't stand a little forgiveness. But the next part of that verse is pretty important, and that's why it's really hard to pray this for some people. As I have forgiven others. Not only do I need to ask God to forgive me, but I need to ask Him for help to forgive others, and I need to understand that He's going, Pastor Leilani, you know that little grudge you're holding? I don't hold a grudge against you. What makes you think you're so wonderful that you can hold a grudge against them? Oh, really? Got it. God, my Father, is holy, and I seem to think I have more clout that I can say, yeah, I'm not going to forgive them, but oh, dear God, forgive me. It's a choice. It's not easy. It takes time. I have an entire sermon series on forgiveness. But when Jesus said, pray like this, that's one of the things He said. You can ask forgiveness, but you need to forgive. Lead us not into temptation. Oh, God doesn't lead us into temptation. That's not what that means there. But deliver us from evil. Don't put me in a place, God. Help me get out of this type of stuff. Prepare me. Help me. Temptation is hard. You need to be careful praying this if you're one of those people who put yourself in the path of temptation. It's going to be hard to pray that. Deliver me from evil. This world is full of sin. It is perfectly good and okay in our prayers to say, God, get me out of the path of Satan. Protect me. Help me in temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. The evil one is constantly seeking to devour, to destroy you. It is good to ask God for help with that. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The kingdom, you are admitting once again that God is king, that there is somebody greater than you, that He is the all-powerful. He is the power. Do you believe? Can you actually pray and say, I know you are the power? The glory, you are above all, that you are amazing, you are wonderful. Forever, that He doesn't end. If you truly don't believe that God goes on forever, that He was here long before you got here, and that life goes on forever, if you can't pray this. The kingdom, the power, the glory. I don't have any fear because my King is all powerful and He goes on forever. Does my life reflect that I believe that? Then how can I pray it if I'm not believing it? Do I believe He can handle it all? He's got it all under control? I'm not seeking praise for myself because I have a King that is all-powerful. I am giving Him glory. It's not glory for me. He is all of that forever. Amen. So be it. I believe it. I agree with it. So it shall be. All kinds of ways to interpret that. or to say it. But that's what amen means. Yes. This is my yes. This is my stamp of approval on everything I just prayed. When you say amen at the end of a prayer, you're saying yes. Bless this food to my body. Amen. What does that even mean? The only way it would bless it to my body is if it didn't add any pounds. You get what I'm saying. Steps. It's you acknowledge Him for who He is. You say, I'm relying on You for my requests. You praise Him. You ask Him for what you need every day. I remember talking to a friend of mine who said, oh, I pray this prayer every day as I drive down the road. And, you know, sometimes, it, you know, I pray it every single day. And she comes from a tradition where you recite things often. And I said, well, what does that mean to you? And she just was talking about different things. And she said, you know, I always have a hard time when I get to that part about daily bread because this particular lady makes a great living and she doesn't ever worry about daily bread. And I said, it's not about food. It's about what do you need today? As I was saying, encouragement and so on and so forth. Take the time to think through the words of this prayer. I have a challenge for you this week, and this is where we're going to end. I don't care what version you get it out of. I don't care if you look at the back of your notes. But I would like you to write out the Lord's Prayer in your own words. Here's the beginning of my version, and my version changes every day, right? Oh God, You're great. You're my Father. You're so holy. I don't even know how I can come before You. But I want to be like You. I want to be what You want me to be. I want You to provide for me. I praise You. Please keep Satan off my back. And God, when I start putting myself in situations where I just need help, help me. That's my version. We're going to talk about prayer more next week. But for this week, I challenge you to take some moments. Whether you're one of those people who pray a lot or pray a little and you have a certain place that you pray or how you pray, I'm just going to encourage you to think about your prayer when you pray. If you don't pray very often, this is the week to start. You can do it any way you want. There's no script. But spend some time with Jesus. He will encourage your heart. I promise you, He talks back. We haven't even gotten to that part, but it's not all a one-way street about you talking to Him. He'll talk back, but He's waiting for you to talk to Him. Let's stand. God, I thank You that You let us get together, that You love us enough that we are able to get together. I thank You that You are holy and that You are a good, good Father and that You love us so much. Father, I pray that You will take the words that each of us were supposed to hear this week and just pound them into our hearts so that we think about them, pound them into our minds, God. You know, help us to grow. Help us to become more like You and prompt us where You want each of us to go in our little path that we're on. Each of us are so different, God, but You already know. You know the plans You have made for me. You know the plans You have made for each and every person standing here today, and You just want communion with us. Father, encourage our hearts to spend time with You. Reassure us when we do. Father, we pray today that You will be with us as we leave, that You will bring people into our path that we can share our story with. Because our story is your story, and your story matters. And Father, I pray that you will just stand right beside us as this week goes on. Live in us, seep out through us. We will praise you. We praise you now. You are holy. We are so overwhelmingly grateful for the way you work in our lives. Amen. May you spend time with Jesus that gave us an example how to pray. May your prayer life be enriched as you spend time and you submit to Him in prayer.